Our psalms this morning have been on the side of crying out to God in our need and in our depression and desperation. Our passage this morning has to deal with Christian love, and especially Christian love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It comes from the circumstance of Paul's own life and ministry, a ministry that, in a sense, was a love spurned. So I want you to hear 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and I'll read verses 2 through 7. Please listen as I read God's Word. Open your hearts to us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. I do not say this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts. Inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you. When he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. During February, we observe Valentine's Day. It's a day for celebrating love and intimacy and friendship and chocolate. Maybe especially chocolate. And I counsel you to enjoy love and friendship and intimacy and chocolate. But from those good views of love, I want to press you further to see something of the Christian type of love that Christ has for his church, as exhibited especially by Paul. We have a joy of being loved by Jesus Christ, of having our sins forgiven, even though we were still sinners. And it's a love that God has given to us that we should then give to others. I opened our service this morning reading from 1 John that God is love, that we know what love is because Jesus has died for us. And if God has so loved us, we also ought to love one another. It's that type of love that Paul demonstrates in this passage. And as a main theme for this passage, I'd put before you that Paul loved the church with Christ-like love. That Paul loved the church with Christ-like love. I'll be able to demonstrate that in three ways. First, by reminding you of the love spurned that Paul had back from the Corinthian church. Secondly, Christian love as a faithful love. And thirdly, Christian love as a selfless love. Listen then to hear how Paul demonstrates Christ-like love. But listen not just for historical fact. Listen, and may God grant that we would love one another in this way. What happened between 1 and 2 Corinthians? In the Bible, you just turn a page and you're there. In the history, there are some very important details that you need to know. I'll be brief here because I've touched on this history before in my sermons on 2 Corinthians, and because the repentance that comes to the Corinthians will draw this history out, and that comes up next week as well. But very briefly, let me remind you that after Paul had left Corinth, that he sent a letter to the Corinthians because he had heard of some trouble that they were having. In fact, they probably had asked him some questions and he responded. There was one particular case that is related in 1 Corinthians 5 of sin that was being not only practiced in the church, but almost boasted of in the church. Paul says that a man has his father's wife, probably a stepmother, had taken her as something like a wife. And the Corinthian church was boasting in their being liberal-minded and tolerant over this circumstance. And in that first letter, Paul called them to repentance. Not only did he call them to repentance, but then he sent his fellow missionary, Timothy, to go to Corinth and to further teach and to train them there and to reinforce what he had said in his letter. Now, can you imagine going into that circumstance like Timothy did and fielding the hot questions that must have come? You want us to do what? You want us to excommunicate this man? And Timothy taught and answered those questions, and he returned to Paul with a report. The Corinthian church has not followed your counsel. And so Paul himself visited Corinth. This is described in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's sometimes called a painful visit. He goes again to the city of Corinth, and he personally confronted them on their sin, their failure to repentance. And he calls them with apostolic authority to change their ways. And again, he departs on his missionary journeys, and he writes another letter following that painful visit, and he calls that letter a painful letter, one that we don't have in existence today, but that he mentions at various places in 2 Corinthians, here in this chapter as well. Again, he dealt sternly with the sin that was in their life. He showed them his love, but he dealt sternly with them. Even such that there is some regret that he voices in verse 8 of this chapter. Paul continues to be troubled for this church. Had he been too harsh? Had his words of confrontation been mixed with his own pride or with his own sin, so that he would turn the Corinthian church away, that had he become a stumbling block? And it's apparent that he is desirous to know of the state of their soul, and so he sends another fellow missionary. He sends Titus to the Corinthian church to find out what's going on. And it seems like he just can't wait to get a report from Titus, and so sets out from Ephesus to travel towards Corinth, going to Macedonia and then to Troas. Finally, receiving Titus into his presence there, he gets a report, and it's a report that overwhelms him. The Corinthian church has heard and has responded to the correction that he gave. With that context in mind, it helps us to understand the Christ-like type of love that Paul exhibited towards the Corinthian church. He was there originally. He wrote to them 1 Corinthians. He sent Timothy. He came personally again. He wrote the painful letter. He sent Titus. His heart continues to be burdened for them. And it's this Christ-like love that is faithful to minister even though it was not returned in love. And Christian love is, first of all, faithful. No matter what the Corinthians had done or what they had become, Paul continued to love them. He makes something of a defense of his circumstance here in the fact that he appeals to the Corinthians to open their hearts. He had been open-hearted with them. You'll remember that in chapter 6 he he urges them to show that same type of open heart to him and his fellow missionaries. But their hearts had been turned away. They'd followed faulty doctrine and false teachers. Paul can say that they had not wronged anybody. They had not corrupted anyone or cheated anyone or misled anyone. But the Corinthians had closed up their hearts to Paul and his missionaries, his fellow missionaries. And that's what makes Paul's response that much more amazing and that much more Christ-like. Paul had been burned. He loved the Corinthian church. He opened himself up and extended himself to the Corinthian church. And what did he get in return? They cast him off for other teachers. They followed false teachers. They turned away from Jesus Christ and were in danger of going into legalism and into false religion. And all throughout this letter, we've seen how Paul agonized over that. And he calls them to see how this is the only true doctrine, the only true way of salvation. And Paul was spurned by the Corinthian church. Humanly speaking, when we are injured, when our hearts are injured, the temptation is to close up and to turn that love off to the one who has hurt us. "You hurt me," you might imagine someone saying. "I won't let that happen again. I'll shield my heart from you and from anyone else who will hurt me." But Paul says, "You, the Corinthian church, are on my heart. I would die together and live together with you." That's a sentiment worthy of Valentine's Day. We can say that husband and wife together. In fact, that's what our marriage vows are, aren't they? "I take you to be my wife, my husband, in sickness and in health. No matter what comes, I will live with you. I will die for you." That's the type of love that is expressed intimately between a husband and wife. We can even understand that type of love in a patriotic sense. "What would you give for your country?" "I would lay down my life for my country. I would die for you." That's the type of language that Paul uses for the church. And not just any church, but a church that had cast him off. "I would live for you. I would die for you," says Paul. Does that remind you of someone else in Scripture? I hope it reminds you of Jesus Christ. It's the type of love that the Good Shepherd has for you, his sheep. For the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And Romans 5:8 says that God has demonstrated his love while we were still sinners. Christ loved us. Christ has faithfully loved us and faithfully borne with our fluctuating love back. We are not constant. We are not faithful. But Jesus is. And Paul demonstrates this Christ-like type of love to the Corinthian church He was faithful to the church that Christ had purchased with His own blood. He did not take offense when offense was given. He did not return evil for evil, but instead returned good. He kept on loving the Corinthian church. He could say, even say, "I have such great boldness of speech toward you, great boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I'm exceedingly joyful in all your tribulation." And again, he says this to one who had cast him off. He faithfully loved. And God's blessing, we see that that has a good result in the end. Before we get to that, though, let's also see how Christian love is selfless. This comes through in verses 5 through 7. Paul indicates that when he and his fellow missionaries came to Macedonia, that they had no rest. And that's Paul's putting it mildly. He goes on to say, "We were troubled on every side." We might say it this way: well, it wasn't a picnic for us to come to Macedonia. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Well, we know from reading elsewhere in the account of the New Testament that Paul came to Ephesus not because his travel agent found this great deal for a getaway in the countryside so that he could have some rest. Paul left Ephesus because there was a riot. He had to get out of town because of fear for his life. And even in Ephesus, he found that there was trouble there. Trouble outside and inside. They went on to Troas there. And in God's providence, there was a fruitful ministry there. God gave them converts in Troas. But Paul says that he still had no rest there in Troas. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, "I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus, my brother." Remember, Titus was the one he had sent to Corinth to find out how the church was doing. So he left Troas and traveled on to Macedonia in hopes of meeting with Titus there. Why was his spirit restless? What was this conflict that he had? It's the love that he had for the Corinthian church. A selfless love that would lay aside his own comfort and even his own progress in a fruitful ministry in Troas. He would hazard trouble and trial. He would not rest until he found out the condition of this beloved church. Again, this is for a church that hurt him. He put their well-being over his own interests. Paul even expresses a selfless love in the relief that he experiences. He says, "God who comforts the downcast comforted us by the coming of Titus and by his message." What was that message? Except that the Corinthian church had sent their affection, had sent word of their repentance, of their change of heart. Paul didn't rejoice in any type of personal victory or exercise of his power. Instead, he rejoiced that God had granted the gift of repentance to the Corinthian church. Once more, can't you see Christ in this selfless type of love that Paul showed the church? You might read in Philippians chapter 2 about the love of Christ that is demonstrated in His incarnation, in His laying aside the glories of the Godhead to become a servant, to suffer and die for us. The very beginning of that chapter applies that to us. He says, "Let us have this mind that Christ had." Let us not think selfishly about our own interests, but instead have in mind the interests of others. This is what Christ has for us. This is the love he has demonstrated to you. It's the love that Paul demonstrates to the Corinthian church. As a servant of Christ, he too, though not perfectly like Christ, he too could selflessly love the Corinthian church. How could he do this? How could he love the Corinthian church who had cast him off? Right at the heart of what Paul says is the phrase that God who comforts the downcast. And I think for Paul that this lies at the heart of the love that he has for the church. That his love is bound up in the glory of God in Jesus Christ. It's bound up in knowing that his love doesn't rest on his own abilities to love the Corinthian church, or his own abilities to lead them or even direct them, correct them. It's not in their ability to return love to him. They had shown already that wasn't why he loved the Corinthian church. They had spurned him. So how could Paul love them like this? It's because his hope rested on the work of God who comforts the downcast. He knew that the Lord who begins a good work in us is faithful, that he will complete it until that day of Jesus Christ. He could pray for the Corinthian church knowing that God's great purpose is to claim a bride for himself and to cleanse that bride and to take that bride all the way to the very end in perseverance and faith. He'd experienced that type of love personally. He had seen it demonstrated in Jesus Christ and in his words and in the church. And he knew then that he could pray for this bride, this love of Christ that had spurned his love. He could pray for them, resting in the God who comforts and the God who saves. The Ligonier Ministry devotional table talk went through 2 Corinthians and commented that this selfless love is truly rare, commenting on Paul's demonstration of the Christ-like love. Only by looking to Christ, to our supreme example of sacrificial and wise love, can we truly love others despite their failures, sin, and hardness of heart. Christ loved us while we were yet sinners. May we faithfully love those whom Christ has loved. Let's consider how we may show this type of love in the Christian church. The Church of Jesus Christ is made up of sinners redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Those called by God and set on a pilgrimage toward perfection and heaven, a pilgrimage that will not be reached in this life. That perfection and complete holiness will only be realized in heaven. Do you know what that means? That means that you and I will sin and sin against each other. It's a pilgrimage that's full of pits and traps. It's full of hills of difficulties and dungeons of despair. And you and I will fall into those trials. You and I will fail and sin and be wayward in our love towards God and towards each other. One of the comforts that God gives is the faithful love of fellow believers in the midst of that pilgrimage. And so my first application to you is to seek that love out. Find that faithful friend who loves you as Christ loves you. Find the one that can comfort you in that despair and in that time of trial. And as you confess to the Lord your dependence on Him and your aching for His presence, you can find comfort in a friend who loves as Christ has loved. Which leads me to a second and maybe more crucial application. May God grant that we love this way. May God grant that we show this type of faithful, selfless love to our Christian brothers and sisters. God grant us this type of mature, deep faith in Him and love for Him that loves each other. Especially when they hurt us. What do you do when someone turns their back on you? You've opened your heart to them. You have loved them. And you get burned. Typically, and I'll use myself here, it is very easy to turn away and to close up my heart to that one. I call it my turtle defense. I retreat into my shell so that I won't be hurt. And not only that, but having been hurt, I start moving like a turtle in being slow to extend myself to others, just in case they might hurt me too. And then I begin to think of the faults and the hurts and the real sins that that other individual has committed against me, and to then rationalize why I am right in closing my heart to them. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. The crucial application of this passage is to be, as Paul, to love the one, the Christian brother or sister that has hurt you. Love the one who has closed up their heart to you. Do not respond in kind. You can show that love by continuing to speak to them, just the common courtesy. You could show your love to them by not avoiding them or cutting yourself off from that individual. You can show your love for them by believing all things, hoping all things, enduring all things. Not to begin to assigning motives to actions, thinking that you know what's on their heart when you don't. You can show your love to them as Paul did by speaking honestly to them of the love that you have for them. And if they have offended, you can let love cover that sin, or you can go to them and gently confront them. If they still don't respond, then you can close up your heart to them and hate them and pray against them. And obviously not, isn't it? Even then, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, we can pray and boast and enjoy the love that they have for Christ, and pray that God would grant repentance. How can we do that? It's because of Christ. It's because of the love that Jesus has shown us. And the love that He has for His bride. He has promised that He would take the church as His own. That He would cleanse it. That He would not stop loving the church until we are spotless. If that's the type of love that Christ has shown us, has shown you, has shown me, then we too can show that love towards each other. And we can pray for that individual that God would grant a turning of hearts, an opening of hearts back to us, confident that Jesus Christ is at work. And that the one who loves his bride and cleanses his bride would be at work. Next week we get to see the rejoicing of how God grants repentance to the Corinthians. And God brings this faithful love to a glorious conclusion in Paul's life. But for today, I want you to see that faithful, selfless, Christ-like love that Paul showed the Corinthian church. And pray that you may exercise that same type of love to your brothers and sisters. Especially when they fail you, when they hurt you and sin against you. Pray that the Lord would grant such revival, not only in our congregation, but in the church on the largest scale, so that the offenses that have driven wedges between generation after generation of churches could be wiped away to the glory of God. May we bow before Him in prayer. God, thank you for your cleansing love. Thank you for faithfully enduring with us and with me. And Lord, make us a community that is full of Christ, that is full of this type of love for you and for each other. O God, who comforts the downcast, may you revive us in your presence. May you revive our faith and grant that you would be renewing us in our love for each other and the communion that we celebrate with each other. And God, we do pray. We probably each know congregations that have been torn asunder by division and terrible hurts. God, we lift them up to you. We beseech you that you would cleanse them, that you would pour out this type of conviction of the love of Christ that would forgive would seek out to love again those that have been spurned. That you would grant restoration to these dear brothers and sisters in Christ. And may you be glorified by this great work among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll close with Psalm 55. We sang the first part of it. In the middle is the agonizing that David has over the rejection of a friend. And then it closes with faith in the God who saves. It closes with casting our burdens upon the Lord, knowing that He sustains. It's this type of love that Paul shows, that Christ has for us, a selfless, faithful love. We'll sing Psalm 55C. Please stand to sing. Thank you.